Welcome to the Miracle Camp podcast, and thanks for checking out this recording from summer camp. Please enjoy listening to our speaker from this week.
All right, all right. Happy Wednesday night. Get your Bibles out. Turn to Philippians chapter 3. Thank you, Lily. Isn't Lily doing a great job running the show for chapel? She's a pro. Really? Is it actually her sister? Okay. Oh, look at that. Sibs. Okay. This one's making me nervous. We're going to trust that the MacBook Pro is not going to just like fly off. Oh, look at Bree. Thank you.
Hey, you're so welcome.
That's better. That's better. You guys have the best camp staff. That's just a fact. Clock it. Did I do it right? Did I get it? Okay. Nailed it. Nailed it. Okay, Philippians chapter 3. Not that we're going to rush through this, but we got some content. And you guys also, I think, have some cool stuff tonight, so I'm trying to be on time. All right. Philippians chapter 3, verses 1 through 11. My Bible has the heading, Knowing Christ. And I will say that for me personally, in the New Testament, this is one of the New Testament scriptures that has most impacted my understanding of what I'm trying to do as a follower of Jesus. And I hope that it can click for you guys tonight as well, because it's a pretty awesome and challenging passage. Okay, we're going to start reading right away in verse 1 of chapter 3. In addition, my brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. There it is again, joy, right? To write to you again about this is no trouble for me and is a safeguard for you. Watch out for the dogs. Watch out for the evil workers. Watch out for those who mutilate the flesh. For we are the circumcision, the ones who worship by the Spirit of God, boast in Christ Jesus, and do not put confidence in the flesh. Although I have reasons for confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he has grounds for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised the eighth day of the nation of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew born of Hebrews, regarding the law, a Pharisee, regarding zeal, persecuting the church, regarding the righteousness that is in the law, blameless. But everything that was a gain to me, I have considered to be a loss because of Christ. More than that, I also consider everything to be a loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. Because of him, I have suffered the loss of all things and consider them as dung, so that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own from the law, but one that is through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God based on faith. My goal is to know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, assuming that I will somehow reach the resurrection from the dead. Let's pray. Father, as we read these words and as we study them and think about them, we need your Spirit to teach us. And I'm so grateful, Father, that you've given us a way to know you that is not by our own effort, but is by your Spirit. And when we have that Spirit, Lord, you invite us into a life of experience and knowing. And it ends in resurrection, and we look forward to that. So help us to grasp these things tonight. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Ah, Jesus. Okay. So Paul here is really starting to dig in to this idea of knowing Christ. And he says there's basically two ways to know Christ. You can either try and be a super religious person and be as good as you can to earn God's love and favor, or you can do it through Jesus by the Spirit of God, through faith, and be granted the righteousness of God and know Jesus that way. One works and one doesn't. And we know it. We've said it multiple times this week. You can't be good enough to earn salvation, right? But there are people who keep trying. And he's worried about his friends in Philippi because there are groups of religious people, and oftentimes they can seem really convincing or they can seem close to the truth, but they're presenting a gospel that involves things, hoops to jump through in order to gain God's favor. And Paul is trying to write, and he says, you know, it's no trouble for me to write to you again because I really want to remind you to not be fooled by people who offer different ways to God other than by faith and the Spirit of God. Look what he calls them. Verse 2. Watch out for the dogs. Okay? This is not cool dogs, you know, like, hey, what's up, dog? This is like gross, you know, wild dog running through, mangy, you know, will like eat your hand off if you go to pet it kind of dog, okay? I know. Watch out for those evil workers, people with bad intentions, who are trying to raise themselves up or something other than God. Watch out for those who mutilate the flesh. Okay, here we go. To get into this, we got to talk about some big things, all right? I know we're in middle school, okay? But we're going to talk about something. It's called circumcision. If you know what circumcision is, raise your hand, okay? All right. Some of you don't know what circumcision is. So this is going to be the very middle school version, okay? Yes. Oh, you want to explain it? Okay, you got, okay. All right. Okay. We have boys and we have girls, okay? I know. I didn't want to do this. I didn't want to do this. But it's in the Bible. It's in the Bible. Boys have different parts than girls. Okay? Now, hold on. Shh. Now listen. There was a very important promise in the Old Testament that was given to Abraham. And it was a covenant that God made actually with himself, but kind of with Abraham. And he basically said, I am going to bless you, and I'm going to make you the father of tons and tons of people. You're going to become a giant nation, and I'm basically going to bless the entire world from here on out through your descendants, okay? Now, the sign that God gave Abraham as a reminder of this covenant was something called circumcision, and this is where a little bit of the boy part got taken off. Okay, we're going to leave it at that. Okay? All right, that's as far as we're going to go. Now, it's very interesting because this is actually, I know it's kind of gross and it's weird and it's like, you know, but let's think about it. Listen up. I know. We're going to get through it. I promise. Think about that sign of the covenant being on that part of the man, okay? Because how are descendants made? Partly through that boy part, okay, right? So, I know. Stay with me. Gosh, we're almost there. Okay, now let's, listen. So, the fact that descendants of Abraham had to come through that process, okay, was a reminder that it was being passed on, that it was a genetic thing, okay? But there's also something else important, symbolic in that act of circumcision. And we're there too. It's a cutting off of the flesh. Now the flesh was a symbol of all the things that we just naturally want as humans. And we have, is our flesh naturally holy or naturally sinful? It's naturally sinful. It's not as bad as it can be all the time, but basically, if something doesn't correct us or guide us or help us, the passion, the things that we want, you know, we're greedy, we're lustful, we're prideful. All of those things are tied to our flesh. And so God was also saying that my descendants, your descendants, Abraham, that my children are people who are supposed to put their flesh aside, to cut off their flesh in the sense that they don't do what they want to do anymore. They do what God wants to do. Okay? So, this thing. Now, when Paul here says, these mutilators of the flesh. He's actually doing a word play because there's a word for circumcision, and then there's a word that's very similar to circumcision that's for completely chopping off. I know. So in English, listen. In English, in chapter 2, oh my goodness, in verse 2, listen, guys, for real. I do know it's funny, but I'm also trying to trust you with the real facts of the Bible, okay? Because this isn't kid stuff. This is actually like some real stuff, like in the text, and so I want to trust you with that, okay? So, verse 2, when he says, "Watch out for those who mutilate the flesh." He's actually playing on the word for circumcision, saying that there are those who want you, there were people that wanted the Gentiles to be circumcised like the Jewish people. It was basically putting up a barrier to Jesus. And if you got circumcised, it was also commitment to the whole law, to everything that came with the Abrahamic covenant and the Mosaic covenant. And Paul says, no. Jesus came in order to, through the Spirit, give you righteousness, not so that you had to follow the law perfectly. And so he says that they are the mutilators. They're trying to mutilate your flesh. They're not for you. They're not giving you away to God. They're corrupting your faith. So if you follow them and if you do what they're telling you to do, you're actually not following Jesus, you're following some other gospel. And so he's trying to warn them against that. Because he knows we cannot be righteous through our own effort. And he says he uses himself as an example. He's like, if you guys think you're good and you want to try and be good... good enough for God, okay, compare yourself to me. See if you can be as good as me. He says that he was circumcised on the eighth day. He was a part of the Abrahamic covenant. Check. He's a genetic Israelite. He's a descendant of Abraham. He's of the tribe of Benjamin, which was one of the sons of Israel. So he's within the chosen people of God. A Hebrew of Hebrews, he says. You don't get more Jewish, you don't get more Hebrew than Paul. When it came to keeping the law, he was a Pharisee. The Pharisees took very, very seriously every single law in the Torah, in the first five books of the Bible. And they took them so seriously that they added laws on top of them in order to make sure that they didn't even come close to breaking one of the actual laws. Their entire life was about rule keeping. It was about washing hands and not touching things unclean and ceremony. Super, super religious. And zealous? Zeal is this word. We don't really use it a lot anymore, but it's this idea of like total passion. Like you're all about it, okay? Some of you are zealous for football. Some of you are zealous for soccer. Some of you are zealous for crocheting. Okay? Yeah, there we go. There we go. Okay? Was he zealous for God? He was so zealous that he says, I persecuted the church. Remember when I told you the story about Paul in the first session and why he was writing to the Philippians and how he had gotten converted? Remember that he was totally committed to stamping out Christianity because he thought it was heretical. He thought it was against God. It was this cult that was actually teaching people not to follow the law anymore. You could be righteous through some other thing, and the Messiah had come. That's ridiculous, because when the Messiah comes, the world's going to end, and he's going to come with an army and take over all of our enemies. And so he was zealous. He was persecuting the church. He was killing people who did not recant their faith in Jesus. And then in terms of the law, blameless righteousness is, as much as you can be righteous, he considered himself blameless. So if anybody could hold up, you know, their credentials and say, if I can do it through human effort, through the flesh, it's me. If anybody can, it's Paul. If there was a human good enough to earn salvation, it was Paul. But you know what? He considered all of his effort after he came to know the true gospel. Poop. Did you guys catch that? You guys catch it? Okay. He, what? Go back? Oh, go back a slide. Okay, all right, hold on. Right there, that one? Fast. We weren't ready for poop yet. You guys think I'm just making stuff be controversial. I'm just preaching the Bible. Mutilators of the flesh. When you guys are ready. Okay, ready? 3, 2, 1. Here we go. All right. What words do your guys' Bible use in verse 8? Rubbish. Garbage. Oh, those nice Bible publishers. That's so nice of them. They don't want good little people seeing poop in their Bible. The word is dung. It's poop. It's cow patties. Paul is saying, when I understood that my righteousness was simply a gift of God by faith through the work of Jesus, every other accomplishment that I had is as worthwhile to me as a pile of poop. And that's not very worth very much, unless you're a farmer, but we're not going to go that far in the metaphor, okay? I consider it as dung. All the things that he was good at, everything he held, not only his accomplishments, but everything he used to value and find important in life, has now been put way at the bottom of the list. And now, he only has one purpose for his life. He wants only one thing, and that is to be found in Christ and to know him fully. Everything that was a gain to me, I have considered to be a loss because of Christ. I also consider everything to be a loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. Because of him, I have suffered the loss of all things. And that's not just empty words. He left his job. He left his home. He left his everything to pursue the mission of Jesus and to bring the gospel to the Gentile world. He lost his health. He was shipwrecked. He was beaten. He was imprisoned. There's another great list of all the things that he's gone through. You can read that. It was a lot. You know, when you think about how far you'd go for Jesus, you know, how much would it have to hurt for you to kind of be like, yeah, I don't know anymore? How much would you have to lose or give up? But Paul's goal should be our goal as well. I find this really convicting. And this is what I mean when I say that this passage has really affected me, because when I look at my heart and my life, and even right now, I mean, here I am preaching the Bible to you guys, but I have to look at my life and say, am I that sold out for Jesus? Am I that all in? And you look at all the loss, and you think, man, I don't want to give up my lifestyle. I don't want to give up all these things that I enjoy, and I don't want to be uncomfortable or hurt. But for Paul, he saw everything about Jesus as more valuable than everything else. And we've been talking about suffering, and he was okay with suffering if it resulted in knowing Jesus more. Knowing Christ, know him and the power of his resurrection, know the fellowship of his sufferings. Paul's one goal, and I love how he says that, my goal is to know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, assuming that I will somehow reach the resurrection of the dead. So Paul basically looked at Jesus, he looked at his life, and he says, I want everything that Jesus has. And I know that the only way I can be found in him is by faith. And then once I'm in Christ, my whole goal is to learn how to think and love and act like Jesus did. And so I'm going to turn my whole life over to that endeavor. A lot of us say we know God. But for many of us, we don't really know God. We know of God, or we've scratched the surface because we know some truths about God. But there's a lot more to knowing than just that. Is there anyone who's really good at English? Like, you like to write papers, you like to be really descriptive. Okay. Anybody? We got someone who said that. We got this guy right here. Who?
Ewan?
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 She's an
English teacher.
Oh. Okay, let's have Ewan. Yeah, come on up. Come on up. Come on up. We need two volunteers. Now I need a camper. Hold on. Don't go crazy yet. I need a camper who's pretty strong. Pretty strong. Hold on. I think red shirt over here. Red shirt right there. Come on up. Okay. All right. To demonstrate what I'm talking about here, okay? Ewan. It, like E-W-E-N?
U-A-N.
U-A-N. Okay. I'm saying that right, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Ewan. I want you to describe me to the group. Go ahead. Be nice.
Tall. Dad bod.
What's tall mean?
What's dad
bod? Dad bod. What?
Tall is like...
Come on, help them to know me, okay?
Tall, he has a dad bod, he needs his glasses. I'm assuming he needs his glasses.
Pretty much, yeah. Come on, be descriptive.
He's got brown hair.
You got a 1,000-page, or 1,000-word essay here.
He does not have a beard or mustache like mine.
Not real beard, a little stubble, though.
not that tan, a little tan, not too tan. Not pale, but not too pale.
Eyes?
He has hazel eyes.
Hazel? Okay.
Right,
okay.
Now.
Yeah.
He's got a normal nose, a normal size nose.
Okay. What's he missing? Anybody you want to help Ewan out? What else? Okay. That's not helping. It's not helping. Yeah.
Okay. You like the Detroit Lions. You're from Michigan. You have glasses. You look about like 6'4". You're pretty strong. You got a little bit of dad bod, but that's just some age stuff.
Yep.
He likes no-show socks, and his hair is a little bit thin.
Yep. Okay. Haven't shaved very recently. Okay. We're getting better. Okay. Yep. Watch tan line. All that stuff. Okay. Perfect. All right. So that was, she helped you out right there. Okay. Yep. Now, okay. Smell. I mean, be honest, whatever. Okay. Not great. Probably not terrible. Okay. A little bit of Old Spice.
That's what I was going to say.
Okay, a little Old Spice, little dad bod, you know, on the smell too. It is Old Spice. Yep, Old Spice.
The flavor?
I don't know the flavor of Old Spice. It's like the 2-in-1 shower gel, okay? You know? Okay, now, the next step. Now, you've described me physically, okay? Do you guys know me a little bit better now? A little bit? Okay, hold on. Now, describe what it would be like to wrestle me.
You just gotta go under and then just gotta.
Who's that?
I feel like you give him a little tickle and then he like instantly defends himself from getting tickled and then you get him.
Probably true.
And then he's just done. It's done.
Okay. Okay.
I would know Ezra is the same. But like.
Okay.
I feel like
yeah, you gotta go right for the legs, you know, kind of thing.
Go for the legs.
Okay, all right. Now, what's your name, bud?
Briggs.
Briggs. Oh, yeah, Briggs. Briggs is back. Okay. Salad bowl's back. Okay. So Ewan has sort of described what it would be like to wrestle me, okay? Can you guys imagine what it would be like to wrestle me? A little bit? By the way, I haven't heard a weight number, any of that. Okay, all right. Briggs, here we go. Okay, I got to catch my breath here a minute. Now that's not really fair to make Briggs wrestle a dad bod, okay? But Briggs, is there anything you want to say about what it was like to wrestle me?
I tried to hang on for dear life.
Tried to hang on for dear life, okay? Was it easy? Okay, here's the point of that ridiculous illustration. Oh, no. He would take me out for sure. He'd go right for the legs. Okay. Here's the point. Even based on Ewan's description of me, okay? What's that? Ewan. You win. Okay, I'm getting that right. Okay. Even based on his description, even based on your imagination, you don't know what it was really like to wrestle me. But Briggs knows a little bit more, doesn't he? Because he actually got to get in the ring. He got to feel the dad bod, okay, holding him down. He got to feel the biceps squeezing him. He got to smell the Old Spice, okay? Now Briggs's knowledge is deeper and more intimate than all of you guys because he knows what it's like, okay? I know, that's a hard word to use with middle schoolers, okay? You guys can sit down. Thank you. Okay? Way to go. Ewan. So here's how we get back to Paul. Paul said that he wanted to know Christ fully. Okay? He wanted to be conformed to the likeness of his death. And this is where real Christianity starts to separate from the fake kind. Because there are a lot of people who think that they know God because they've read their Bible, or they go to church, or they know what to say. But let me tell you, actually trying to help someone who's poor, giving them food, giving them clothing out of your closet is a lot different than saying, yeah, you should help the poor. Forgiving your friend when they've hurt you and saying, you know what, it's okay. And then having to see them every day and remember that you've forgiven them is a lot different than being able to quote a Bible verse about forgiveness. You guys see what I'm saying here? Paul wanted to know everything about Jesus, including what Jesus felt as Jesus was obedient to the Father's will in his life, conformed to his death. Paul wanted to know what it would feel like to surrender his body to honor God and be a witness to him. And we think he probably did that. The last we hear about Paul from the New Testament is that he was under house arrest. And we don't know how he got out or if he ever got out or if he was executed. He wanted to know what it felt like to depend on God's power in every situation, to be able to call on him and see him show up. You see how that experiential knowing is so much different than just knowing in your head? The problem with actually trying to know Jesus fully is that it is scary. It's really hard. When you're put in the situation and you're given the opportunity, your flesh is going to be screaming, "No! Not this! Take care of yourself. Do what feels good. Make yourself look better." But the person that knows the righteousness of Christ by faith is someone who just completely trusts God and gives their body up in life and in death to the will of God. And they're the ones who really get to know Jesus and the power of his resurrection. And Paul says, my hope is that I can through knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, might someday attain to the resurrection of the dead. And I believe that he has confidence that he knows he's saved, but there's still just this, like, this hope, this expectation that, you know, someday he's actually going to be raised from the dead through the gift of God. So my prayer for you guys is that you would continue to pursue your journey of knowing Jesus. Yes, through your Bible. Yes, through camp. Yes, through going to church when you get home. But through actually surrendering yourself like Paul did. And that Paul's goal would be your goal. That above all else, more important than anything, would be knowing Christ Jesus your Lord. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much. Thank you that I did not kill Briggs and that he's still alive. Thank you, too, for the beauty of your word. I thank you for Paul. I thank you for his example. And I pray that his goal would be our goal, too, that above all else, we would want to know you. Forgive us when we think that we're better than we are, when we try and pursue you through our own goodness and righteousness. Instead, Lord, I just pray that we would accept the beautiful gift of righteousness that is from Jesus. And then we would conform ourselves to both your life and death and know you in that way. And so in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this chapel session and for diving into Scripture with us. We hope you've been encouraged in your walk with Jesus, and we hope to see you here at camp for next year's summer camp. So, thanks again, and have a great rest of your day.